ぞきそこにあるヘイケンゾキ君はおみケンゾキケンゾキケンゾキ be with me。 Hello and welcome to AMO Kenzoku episode 78. We are a group of four bubblegum crisis boomer otaku who wanted an excuse to talk about anime, manga, and any related subjects we find interesting. The Kenzoku are...
Hey all, I'm Mike.
I'm Sam.
Hello, I'm Nick.
And I am Dylan. This episode is being recorded on March 5th, 2026. And this week's topic is the Kenzoki's four. The fourth edition of our annual award show where we award the best of the previous year from both our podcast and other things that we have AMO'd on. It's a very formal thing. We have lots of debates and background stuff. There's major campaigns. What's that?
I'm wearing a suit right now.
Oh, definitely. I've got a suit on. It's a very, very formal event.
I think I will be prudent and not ask whether it is of the birthday variety or not, Sam.
Wah, wah.
No, it's a tux. I'm just not wearing any pants.
Fair. I can believe that.
And I am wearing my Nasubi costume.
Well, that's very
and
funny.
And I am in my my Sugoyo Masaru-san regalia with the charm points.
Oh, man. Fabulous.
Well, then I am wearing a certain Italian Saint Seiya t-shirt just for the hell of it.
Yeah.
That's very AMO.
Makes sense. Very AMO. Italian Saint Seiya's. That's about as AMO as you get, I think.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, let's start off with the first award of the night. Best late to the party. And I will just start to call out people to put your nominations out there. And everyone's required to talk as much or as little as you want to. So, best late to the party. First up will be Sam.
Boy, I'm a bad first choice. I thought long and hard, and I couldn't think of anything really that I was late to the party on this one. I mean, there's a lot of stuff that I have embarrassed that I haven't seen yet. But I think last year, I don't think I came late to anything, unless one of you guys remembers something that I'm forgetting.
I mean, aside from Mike, we were all very late to House 1977.
Oh, that's true. Sure, I'll throw that in there. Yeah, I never watched that before. I never would have watched that not for this podcast.
Now, would you ever watch it again? That's the real question.
No. But it was a good experience. Yeah, it was. I mean, I still think about it now and then. So that says something.
Yeah, that at least puts it in, you know, the company of California Crisis after a fashion.
Oh, I think California Crisis will definitely be something I watch and show to specific individuals.
I will watch that one again at some point. Sure. That's all I got. Unfortunately, I can't be more interesting.
All right, next up is Nick.
This one's actually was one of the easiest for me because it is, without a doubt, Uma Musume. Late to the parties, it's a bit complicated because the game technically came out last year and I was definitely there on release. But when it comes to the property itself, you know, it's been more or less out since like 2018-19, and you know, I didn't give it the light of day and in fact mocked Sam incessantly for it until I finally saw the way, and now I am probably the number one proponent of the Kenzoku for the Church of Uma Musume. All hail. And
yeah, I'm mad you didn't tell me that the movie was last weekend.
Sorry. If it makes you feel any better, it was filled to the gills with... how do I put this without being grossly offensive?
I'm already getting a picture.
Let's just put it this way. The only people older than me in the audience were parents that were bringing their teenage kids.
Okay.
That's... I am not shocked by this.
Yeah.
Interesting.
It was actually better than I was expecting.
The people that were kind of like us when we were that age and probably just as obnoxious.
I feel like I was never that obnoxious, but obviously I'm not objective to my own self. But overall, yeah. The audience, I would say, was very, very attentive. It was just, there was a gentleman, I'll say gentleman, even though I want to say kid, but a gentleman next to me who came with a group of friends. They all came with backpacks, and they all had, like, massive family size bags of, like, Doritos, Cheetos, and Takis, and just, like, were chowing down on them the entire time. They were all being greasy McCheeto fingers, basically. So, that's a callback, for sure. But,
yeah, honestly, I almost admire someone who can get away with that as someone who might have been involved in smuggling an 18-inch Pizza My Heart pizza into Star Wars Episode 1 on opening night.
At least you brought in high quality eats. Pizza My Heart's good stuff. So, but yeah, for me, it's Uma Musume. Obviously, I'm still enamored with it. I'm still playing the mobile game, and I believe we're about to celebrate the 1-year anniversary of it, actually. So some interesting events will happen. The movie was really good. I'm not going to even say by Uma Musume standards, it was just a really, really awesome standalone movie. And there's only a few references to the YouTube OVA that, honestly, you're not missing a ton. The context within the movie is enough for you to understand the relevance. But holy smokes, okay. It's animated insanely well. And yeah, went to really dark places, which obviously anybody who has seen my taste in anime or through this podcast knows I'm very much into dark psychological stuff. So yeah, to Uma Musume up.
Right.
Very nice. All right, I'll go next. I'm going to put myself out there with Perfect Blue, because... I mean, I think I had watched it before, but I didn't super remember it. And now I'm just like, yes, Perfect Blue is perfect and blue.
Now that you've had most of the year to marinate on it, can you definitively say if Perfect Blue is actually your favorite Kon movie now?
Yeah, I think it
is. Yeah, that's right.
It's so good.
That's right.
Yeah. Yes.
Who was right? Who was right all along? Yep. That's right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm going to give myself another best late to the party. Not really from the podcast, but I'm going to give it to myself for the Naruto manga, because I've been reading that, and you know, there's plenty of good reasons why that manga is huge. It is. It's really good.
It's considered, like, one of the big three for a reason. It got an entire generation of people through, you know, into anime. So
yeah, like the art is fabulous. The story's pretty good. The characters are fun. It obviously is with anything, particularly anything that long. There's sections that are better and worse, and I'm like, you know, 300 chapters in now, so, you know, not quite halfway, but it's quite good. So I'm like, I'll help myself there. Is not quite, you know, I'm never going to be a Narutard, but you know, it's pretty good.
It's impressive to me that it's been over for over 10 years now, I want to say. And as far as I know, Kishimoto has not done anything else since. I think he's been very reclusive.
He just spends his days counting his money and getting nerve damage repair on his hand.
Yeah.
I can neither confirm nor deny still having copies of pictures of certain members of this podcast cosplaying Naruto at Fanime 2004.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
That's fabulous. All the different Narutos. I wonder, I feel like with everyone who's cosplayed Naruto, it probably has added up to more than the number of doppelgangers that he's made.
Probably, yes. Worldwide, yeah.
Globally, definitely.
All right, Mike, you're up.
Okay, well, the easy and obvious one is Uma Musume, so I'm just... Nick already covered that better than I could, so I'm going to kind of flip the category around to a couple of anime that were late getting to the U.S. party, one of which is definitely Angel's Egg, which I never thought that would get a theatrical release in the U.S. Never, 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 so seeing that was unexpected. And in the other department, about 5 years ago, there was a project to remaster or restore a film print of the Daikon 3/8mm that unfortunately got ceased and desisted by Gainax, so never really got released aside from a highly compressed raw scan on YouTube. I'm not sure if this is related to that or something new as it claims, but... someone leaked a restoration of the Daikon 3/8mm film print on archive.org somewhere, and you can also find it on certain other sites for Sailing the Seven Seas if you know where to look. That might be actually a little easier because the archive.org is some just like random character file name.
Oh, really? That's interesting.
But the... one on archive.org is a 12-gig file for, like, you know, 7 minutes of footage, so...
Wow.
Jeez.
We're talking quality. You can see every film grain if you want
you,
to.
You can see Yamaga's fingerprints left on the...
Probably.
Huh.
Do you know how... Or I guess you were saying you don't have any idea what how this was captured at all?
Right. Like, I... know something about the older restoration attempt, that one was captured on a laser graphic scan station, I think at 2K, though there may have been a 4K scan that they decided wasn't better enough to be worth all of the extra effort from an 8mm source.
Hmm.
But either way, we're talking about like a $100,000 plus scanner, I believe, at the time.
Well, a lot of there are enough older fans who have money that, you know, it's not crazy.
Yeah. So, I mean, this quality looks at least as good as that, so I would guess it was scanned on something similar.
Oh, that's cool.
Well, it's cool that something so historically relevant to the anime industry is now preserved at, like, as high a quality as it is.
Yeah, I mean, it's still not the quality of Anno's copy that is, you know, presumably the original camera negative. But it's pretty darned... So it's a lot blurrier because, like most home movies, it was shot on reversal, i.e. slide film. So it was probably just, like, developed, edited, and... from everything I've heard about the convention, like, went straight to being projected at the opening ceremonies while the, you know, cement of the splices was not totally dry yet. So basically every print I've seen has, or, you know, every, the home video versions and the couple of, like, print things I've seen all have a lot of the same damage that must be on the original camera negative before they made any copies of it. And then any copies would have to be at least two generations off, because to make a standard print from reversal, you have to make a negative first and then another positive, I think.
That's a whole bunch of technology stuff that I don't know anything about, but it sounds pretty interesting, and it's kind of wild, all the stuff you think about when you get into it.
Yeah, I only dipped my toe into film, like, trying to find out info about what was up with Daikon prints, because I'm insane.
Okay. Well, I'm going to take all that into account, and I am going to give the best late to the party, Kenzoki, it's going to go to Uma Musume.
It's going to Uma Musume. Yeah, I think that fits the rules.
I'm sending it via ship up the Erie Canal and then out and around, and it's going to Nick will be the recipient of that, and it'll get there a little bit late whenever it gets there. It's going to have to go through this Straits of Hormuz, so that might take a little extra time. It'll get there at some point.
Or it won't.
It's the thought that counts.
All right. Speaking of the thought that counts.
Might be sending it via Ryoga Express.
Oh my gosh. Speaking of thought that counts, how about the thought that doesn't count in the category for hottest garbage? Defined however you want to. First up for hottest garbage, we'll go with Nick.
I'm going to take the cop-out and cheapskate answer, but also, in my opinion, very justified. It's I'm going to stay with the anime theme. It's going to be One Punch Man Season 3. Holy moly. Talk about steaming pile.
I think I was out when it first came out, and then all I heard was it was giving Junji Ito Uzumaki a run for its money and steaming piles of things.
At least Uzumaki didn't do, like, still image, like, Dragon Slide as a substitute for animation.
No, they did in episode 4.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, they did. But yeah, I've seen a couple stills of, like, the Garo Slide, and you're like, what?
The infamous Garo Slide.
Yeah.
You know, it's hilarious because I want to say last step, we were talking about Ruri Rocks and how, like, you know, the anime art and quality and presentation is so much better than the manga, and then Sam mentioned, you know, yeah, kind of just like One Punch Man. I was thinking, like, well, not season 3.
Yeah, that's so wild that it kind of tanked it as an anime property. I mean,
yeah,
I think it'd be hard for someone to come back with, like, season 4 now and everyone be like, oh man, new One Punch Man, I'm super excited. Everyone be like, I don't know, I might be out on that on anime.
Yeah, it's a show that really, or even a series in general, it only works well. I haven't read the original, but, like, the thing that keeps me coming back to the manga is the art is just so, I mean, it is funny, but, like, if the art was not as good as it is, like, I probably would have bounced a while ago.
It's a pretty, like, the story is pretty paper thin, right? Like, it's carried heavily by the art and the character concepts, right? I think the idea of a lot of the heroes and villains is pretty hilarious. Masaru sonified versions of characters from MHA got dumped into or became One Punch Man heroes, basically. But I mean, yeah, and the hilarious irony that it was, of course, JC staff that basically was the ruining of One Punch Man.
Oh yeah, fitting. Well, not fitting, but I mean, it figures that there's just the.
So yeah, that's my hottest garbage.
Okay. I'll go next. I didn't have anything that I was, like, super having those feels on. So I'm gonna go with the O of junky acrylic stand-up figures being the default for everything these days, because it's garbage. I have a couple acrylic-y things, and I do like them. Like, I do. But it shouldn't just be like, oh, here's, like, 80% of the merchandise is that. So that's what I'm going with, is that's the hardest garbage, because you get it, you're like, oh, you shouldn't have. This goes right in the garbage.
Yeah.
That's mine. All right. Next, we'll go with Mike.
All right. Well, it's been a year, so honestly, I don't really remember watching any hot garbage. So I will nominate for hottest garbage in anime fandom in 2025: tariffs and the end of the de minimis exemption.
Okay.
Oh gosh.
It's pretty bad for our hobby.
Yeah, especially for us people like this, where like we want to get like the random weird stuff off of like eBay and things like that, and imported from little random shops and stuff like that, because that's really kind of who it like hurts the most.
Yep.
And it sucks. Yeah. Okay. All right, Sam, bring us home.
Oh, you know, I was looking at my list, and I when I was filling these out, I did them kind of out of order, and I realized that I put the same one for two different categories. I think I might want to hold my this one for a different category, which I think is more appropriate. I don't want to be too mean to it. Instead, I think I will second Dylan's just the disappointing merch situation, where like even you go to Japan and look around and it's just like, yeah, a lot of just acrylic stuff, pretty junky. There are still people making really good stuff, and it's rare when you find it. Like, we were just looking before we started recording at those the company that made the little Ava Room things, another like fake food items.
Yeah, this company Rement, and they don't make a ton of stuff, but mostly what they make are these like really, they're little, the standard kind of gotcha box things, usually sets of like 8 in a little cardboard box thing. But they're these like incredibly well thought out, executed designs, little miniatures from different stuff. I got one that was an Eva Room, where it has like, you, if you get the whole set and you can buy the box, you'll have like a desk, keyboard, mouse, gaming PC, coffee, backpack, two different, a pair of shoes that come in a cardboard box, a music playing device with headphones that literally plug into a jack in the headphone things, Sachiel, wow, bathroom slippers. It's all incredibly well.
Hey, you forgot about the shelf, the shelf that has a miniature acrylic standee of Evergreen.
Right, yes, yeah, and that might be the best of all. Yes,
the most meta one of all.
Yeah, the most meta of all is a miniature acrylic standee. Is the only acrylic standee thing in the whole set, which is pretty hilarious. But yeah, this little Rement company, if you ever find any of their stuff, if you'll
know.
It's RE, their website, if you search RE-MENTCOJP, it'll show up. And then you'll try to figure out how to do a shut up and take my money with them. And you'll be happy with it too.
Amazing, as we were discussing it amongst ourselves before we started recording and poking around there, and it just, the build quality looks really nice for such small stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And if everything's up to the same quality of the Eva set, I would highly recommend all of them. Like,
it is pricier, you know, but that's fine. I'll pay for that.
Yeah.
I will say that the Gashapon situation in Japan is still pretty good. It's getting worse, but it's still okay. Just, you know, the anime stuff will definitely be a lot of acrylic stuff in there, but if you're okay with other weirder things like cats doing weird stuff or whatever, or things like that, then they got you.
Okay, so the did we get to everyone? Did everyone?
Yeah, I believe so.
Yeah. So we're gonna take a bunch of bad acrylic and poorly made nui gurumi figures and melt them down into a slab, like someone coming back up from the fifth level of Maiden Abyss, and that award is going to be given out to the embodiment of acrylic figures and bad merchandise.
I approve.
Yes.
All right. Next topic. Most anticipated. I'll go first with this one. I'll say for podcast, I'm looking forward to doing some more 80s, 90s OVA type stuff, because shockingly there are still more that we have not viewed, and that stuff is always always good to go over. And it's also kind of nice too that they're usually, it's not like you're committing to like a super long show, and oftentimes we could probably do a review off of like a couple episodes. So that's what I'm looking forward from the podcast. And I'll put out as well for non-podcast. I'm looking forward to actually like seasons 2 and kind of 3 of some good shows and stuff that I haven't watched yet. Like I still haven't watched season 2 of Dandadan or Shoshimin or Apothecary. Oh, wow. Or finished Call of the Night or Kaiju number 8. So there's a bunch of cool season 2s of stuff that I haven't seen. So I will say
2025 was the year of season 2s. And when I say that, yeah. Like good season 2s, like so many good season 2s in 2025.
So those are mine. Gonna pass it off to Mike.
I honestly, things have been kind of crazy, so I haven't kept up totally with what's coming up this year, which is probably why I would like to get back to doing seasonal eps every so often at least, so I have more of a sense of what's going on in that route, podcast-wise.
Yeah.
And non-podcast, well, I'm looking forward to seeing more movies in the Dolby Vision and Atmos screen that just opened where I live, which is the first like non-AMC exclusive Dolby Cinema exclusive installation in the country for some reason. I caught the Avatar movie there recently, and also Wuthering Heights, just for a comparison that wasn't in high frame rate, because the Avatar movie kind of kept changing its frame rates and irritating me that way. But the HDR bright dark contrast is really there more than I've seen in a traditional theater.
Okay. All right. Next, Sam. What is your most anticipated?
So, I'll be honest, this was another one I had trouble with, mostly because, same as Mike, I kind of don't have an idea of what's coming out this year. Like, we were just getting announcement recently for stuff for next year, so I don't want to put, like, you know, obviously the new Ava thing, but that's not really fair. I want this year. As far as podcast stuff, nothing in particular. I kind of enjoy a cop-out answer. I enjoy all the stuff we do, especially stuff where it's stuff that I wouldn't have watched normally or experienced normally. But I will say that I've been having fun finding out about these random anime movies that come out like, you know, 2 months before it's in theaters. And then, I'm determined to basically watch those if they're not some, you know, anime series movie that I like, JJK or something that I'm not into and I'm not invested in. But if it's like some random one-off thing, then I'll go see it. I will say one thing I do know about movie-wise is Exit Number 8 is going to get a U.S. release. It's a Japanese live-action, like, I don't know, horror thriller thing that's coming out in April. So that should be interesting. I think it's based on the game.
Okay, is it the one with the train station? Like, you start in the hall and, like, you're supposed to figure out if it's, like, you know, consistent or not. And if it is, then you exit.
I just picked up that game on Switch 2 because it was like $5 or whatever, and it's really well done. It's very frustrating.
It's super unsettling once you get to a certain point because you're like, what's going on? Like, you just kind of get this sense of dread, and I think that's really cool.
But it's so like, obviously it was made by a Japanese team because it is just like every, like, all the details of the stuff in the trying to walk through and find the exit in the underground the Japanese subway station, it's all just perfect, and it's just, and then it gets weird and you're like, yeah, this is definitely someone who got lost in Shinjuku station 25 times. It's a cool game. I'm very curious about that movie.
Yeah.
I had no idea. That's cool.
Keep put it on your calendar for April. April 8th, I want to say, is when it comes out, but April.
I mean, that's the 8th. So,
yeah. Oh yeah, and the egg exit number 8. Yes. Maybe that's where I got 8 from. Anyways, yeah, that's it for me. Movies, anime, movies, Japanese movies in theaters.
Awesome. All right.
That was me.
What's your most anticipated?
Ooh, this one is actually tough because there's two, I would say, obvious picks for me for a podcast. The first is the Kiki's 4K re-release. I feel like this kind of is going to be one that at least most of us are interested in seeing. I haven't seen Kiki's in like 30, probably 5 years. So, you know, the 4K, you know, shine up will probably be pretty glorious. The other front runner for me is, I was going to call it S3, but it turns out it's the new Made in Abyss in 2026. It's actually going to be another movie. We are, if anything, Made in Abyss fans here, so I might have to go with that one because I feel like regardless of what it is, a TV series or a movie, we will find a way to watch it, and we will want to talk about it. So I might have to go with Made in Abyss because I can never get enough. I always have to delve deeper. So
deeper, yes.
So yeah, I'd say that's probably my most anticipated for podcast or likely podcast topic for non-pod. This one was kind of a quick last-minute surprise, but it's the fact that Haikyuu is not just going to end with a final movie. They're actually going to do a final TV series after said movie, so they should actually be able to wrap up the 110 chapters they still need to cover, which is pretty great. So now I have a pretty clear idea of what the movie will be, and then I also have a very clear idea what the TV series will be. I won't say anything because I don't want to spoil it for anybody who has yet to who hasn't read manga and wants to watch it through, but yeah, I'm pretty excited because that means it'll probably get a pretty I would say justified ending. So yeah, I'll go with Haikyuu.
That's coming out this year.
I don't know when, honestly, but it was announced this year, so I'll go with that. I believe the movie is going to be out later this year. I can do a real quick spot check here.
All right. We're waiting on that. I'm compiling the votes, looking them for authenticity, checking again, and the answer has come back, and it is Made in Abyss is the winner. Congratulations. It's a really cool looking trophy, all sorts of like really great details and everything in there. Like, it's just like very nicely made, looks really good. It's a very nice looking like Nanachi figure. The only problem is you can't bring it up or it just kind of starts to melt and fall apart and then you lose your mind. So you have to be very careful with that one.
Perfect.
Just don't bring it up like above your head or you're going to start having a real bad day. Next up is biggest disappointment. We will start off with Mike.
Well, one thing that I'm going to be traveling and missing that April screening because that sounds kind of cool. Two would be... Shoot, I'm trying to remember. I'd say biggest disappointment of the year is just how little of it I remember because of everything else I had going on, honestly. Sorry about that all.
That's completely valid.
That is disappointing.
All right. Well, we'll go off the disappointment of non-remembering of things or having them happen or not, and you could be in your own perfect blue and not sure whether it's true or not.
Has anyone... Going back to most anticipated, has anyone heard anything about that new movie by the Odd Taxi creators that supposedly came out in Japan in summer?
Oh, like if it's coming out here? I haven't. I'm desperate for it to come out here, though.
Yeah, same.
We were looking when they were last talking about it, our last episode, I think, weren't we? And we couldn't find anything.
Yeah, it looks like Anime Limited has a UK license, so it might be one of those that's importable region, you know. Have to see what comes out on that.
Yeah. definitely, and something I think we're all anticipating in some form or another.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
Definitely.
Okay, but back to things that are disappointing with Sam. Let us know what's disappointed you.
Okay, this one. I got my first, like, real answer, I think. Going back, this is a disappointment, and the reason I really know it was a disappointment is because I forgot this existed. I was going back through what I watched on Crunchyroll. Zenshu.
Mappa show. Good pick. Yep. Good pick.
Animation, fantastic. Story, utterly forgettable. I'm very sad because it had a lot of potential. It was entertaining, but just, yeah, it wasted potential. Very forgettable. I'm sad. I was very excited for it when I heard about it. It was very highly anticipated.
That's fair. And then it really missed hitting the trampoline on the landing.
Yeah. Yeah, it kind of just petered out. I mean, again, animated super well all the way to the end. Very unsatisfying ending, though. Like,
yeah,
it's not, I don't know, it's not even worth an analysis. We did a whole episode on it, so, you know, people can go back and listen to that.
Did we?
No, we
didn't talk about it.
We talked about it, but I believe it was in the Potpourri episode. So it was.
It must have been a Potpourri. Yeah,
it was within the scope of the Potpourri. Yeah, I don't think it deserved an entire episode. Honestly, I don't think it's.
Yeah, because we don't like to be too negative.
Yeah, on this we don't. Show. We don't want to spend a whole episode dumping on something. That's a little counterproductive.
Yeah, that's not very fun. But yeah, that's my biggest disappointment.
It's a good one. Nick, what you got?
This one's easy, and I'm pretty sure I'm going to win here. I'm that confident. This is a recent one, but my biggest disappointment is the fact that the Eva short film that was just aired for EvaFest last month was exclusive to the event and will, for the indefinite future, not be available to be viewable anywhere. So unless you got to be in Yokohama Live to watch it, there's literally no legal way to watch it because... Kara has been doing takedown notices on anybody who screen recorded it or whatever on their phone and posted it on YouTube. Like, it's very difficult to find. So yeah, that's my biggest disappointment.
That's disappointing. I will say I'm kind of on the side of Kara for the takedown stuff because as much as I want to see it.
Like... I'm not disappointed in the fact that they're doing takedown. I'm disappointed in the fact that they have no intention of releasing it anywhere outside of it. So for this brief window of 4 days, people were able to see it, and now it's gone. Like, you guys spent time to make it. Like, let the world see it. Like, what is the problem with letting the world that, you know, that been wanting to see, you know, more Eva stuff always, you know, to release it, like, make it available, sell it on physical media, nothing, no announcement on anything, and that's so lame.
That does suck. Hopefully we all just cross our fingers that they'll release it with some, you know, as an extra or something later. Or eventually at Eva Park when they release their Eva
I have
park.
A feeling that Anno being so buddy-buddy with Miyazaki might go that route and just, like, only make it viewable during, like, anniversary. So maybe in another 30 years we'll get to see it again.
Hopefully not, but yeah.
Okay, well, that, yeah, all right, well, that bummed me out. All right, on to me now. Biggest disappointment. I didn't actually have anything that was crazy here. Mine was kind of that we have not actually revisited Nasubi yet. And that on this podcast and stuff, we have not done anything on Masaru-san yet, but I think that's been one of my biggest disappointment honorable mentions for every Kenzo case.
It's too special. We have to get it perfect when we
got to save it for the 100th episode celebration or something.
Oh, there we go. Yeah, that's a good idea.
Okay, all right, we can figure that. We can do that. Okay. Okay. So let's hear. So we had my. No Nasubi, we have the limited run, no redo of Eva, we have a Zenshu, And then Mike, what did we have from yours? Was just not remembering the year at all.
Well, I remembered something, which is that the infamous Right Stuff Dirty Pair Kickstarter / pre-order discs finally came in, and then immediately needed a repress, and then that apparently still has issues.
Jeez. Oh, goodness.
Fabulous.
So, yeah, the loss of Right Stuff being acutely felt still.
Hmm.
That is a disappointment.
I award no winner here. These are all too disappointing.
We all lose.
And we're all, the prize is everyone at some point during the next day just sit and think about one of those things and sigh for a minute and then try to go on with your day.
It's a sad Nusubi on top of a sad Eva Unit 1 on top of a sad Mike, and then
a DVD, Blu-ray doesn't quite play, and
all being
and then the only
the
thing that's playing on video is the last episode of Zenshu. You're like, oh god, this is very disappointing.
Yeah.
Okay, that was rough. All right, let's go a little more positive here. That one's always hard. So, favorite podcast episode. So first up, I will go with Sam.
As another cop out, I think all of our episodes are great. But I think going back, looking through the stuff we did last year, I think the one I enjoyed the most was Golden Boy. That was a fun revisit that I think sparked a lot of, I don't know, interesting discussion about it. A lot of nostalgia.
Is that one valid? That one was before Kenzoki's 3.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
But it was in 2025, so I'm not sure.
Oh, but yeah, it was 2025.
Oh.
Yes.
Oh, man,
like
now
January.
I'm very confused.
Just down to the wire. That was why I picked it. Well, I'm sticking with it because it's in 2025.
Okay.
I'll accept it. I think it's a good answer, so I'll accept it.
We'll allow it as long as you polish it off at the end and you have to clean it.
Gross.
Okay. I'm next here. I was between two. I'm going to go with our Gundam G-Quex episode because we weren't quite thinking that we were going to do that. And then we saw it and then we decided that we needed to have an emergency break in our schedule and do an episode and discuss it. And I just think it came out as being a fun deep dive into nerddom plus a new anime movie and all of our old heroes making new things with all of our old heroes and our new heroes, and I think the episode came out pretty good. So I'm going GQ 6 U's and then an X.
I feel like that's kind of like a bo.
Yeah, or
something like that.
One of the other Inio Asano.
Oh.
Things.
Yeah. Dead demons.
Yeah. Next up, favorite podcast episode, Nick.
For me, it was also pretty hard. There was we didn't do a ton of eps last year, but I would say the quality of all the eps was really, really good. Covered a lot of great stuff. But all that being said, in honor of the late great Satoshi Kon, I gotta go with Perfect Blue. His best movie, his first movie. Great episode. I think we got to really dive deep into the psychology of it, so I gotta go with the Perfect Blue episode.
Okay. And Mike?
Yeah, I also had trouble deciding. I kind of want to nominate just that streak of three of the Perfect Blue House Millennium Actress episodes, because those were all some interesting stuff.
You have to pick one.
Fine, then I'll pick House just
there we go. All right.
Just to be bloody minded, literally.
And I'm going to roll the random dice, and it came up with the number 7, which means the winner is the episode House 1977. And the Kenzoki is a car filled with bananas, model size.
To scale, to scale.
to scale, yeah, a scale model of a car that is filled with bananas. And Mike, it'll be on the way to you shortly. You can keep the car.
It'll arrive just too late, actually.
Yeah. Yes, it will definitely arrive just too late.
Honestly, a house series of like gotcha bond from figures from that company would be pretty amazing.
You could do so. Yeah, you could. That's a property that has not been mined for merchandise. It is just ripe with merchandising possibilities. There's like the entire thing is just it's just meme stock.
That seems like one of those things where someone will do a set of gachapon figures for it at some point in the near future.
If I was next time in Japan, like if I saw some of those, I'd be like, Rebecca, I gotta buy all this. She's like, I hate you. Like, I'm done with you. I hate you. I don't even understand anything. Why are you excited? What is this? That movie that you made me watch that was insane. I'm like, yes, no, I need to have the gachapon from this. Okay. Next up is kind of a very open one. Favorite AMO. Defined however you want to do that. Nick, you are up first.
Yeah, this one was actually once I decided to set up a specific like rule for myself, it actually got quite easy. So like I said earlier, last year was the year of season twos. A lot of really great season twos, Dun Dun Dun, Call of the Night, I have short-term memory loss, but you know, those are two of, those are two of the best. Anyway, but I decided, no, nothing ongoing. I wanted to try to pick something that was a bit more standalone. And then when I went to that, it was actually very simple. For me, it's my favorite AMO last from 2025 is Takopi's Original Sin. Possibly the best 6-episode miniseries I've ever seen, full stop. It is... Yeah, just the execution. It's not for everybody, but as everyone knows, I'm into the dark stuff, and it doesn't get much darker. I mean, it can't. I do think there's stuff darker than Takopi, but it gets very dark early on.
Yeah.
And because again, it's about kids, and you know, it's very what the outside of the existence of Takopi, like a lot of that stuff's really believable, which is I think what makes it so scary. So as far as just like you know, relatability. Especially when it comes to like bullying and all that stuff. So yeah, I still would love to do an episode on it. I know it's the content is tough, so I know it's not necessary for everybody, but if we can get everybody to watch it, I think we can have some real interesting discussions about it. But yeah, from 2025, it's pretty comfortably Takopi for me.
All right, sounds good. Mike, you are up.
I guess I'll Well, this feels kind of weird putting it in 2025 since it came out in 2024 and here in 2026, but I'll toss out the Uma Musume movie because I saw it in 2025 after we did our Uma Musume episode. It wasn't my choice, but it happened to be on where I was. And it was pretty good. I give you that.
Hey, nice. You're splitting the difference between 24 and 26. That evens out. All right, that's a good one. For me, I think I have a kind of an honorable mention in the O category, kind of A, kind of that. But for me, I am going to go with Detectives These Days Are Crazy. Oh my gosh, this is why you should make anime, is to make the shows like this. It is a stupid jork show that is just fabulous, and I honestly think it just got better as the season went on, and the characters are all incredible and ridiculous, and it sticks all of the landings, all the gorilla landings.
Yep.
It's fabulous. And then my kind of my honorable mention one is my coming up with and having fun doing my very quick anime reviews where I watch between 5 to 10 minutes of as many of the new shows that come out every season and give a review to them. It's brought me some joy watching bad anime and has gotten me to watch some things that I wouldn't have watched. Like, I don't, if I have, was not doing that, I probably would not have watched Detectives. I'll call it Detectives these days are crazy. Mm-hmm. But I watched the first couple minutes of that and I'm like, this looks like this could actually be pretty good. And then I was like, oh my gosh, this is great. So, but I'm going to go with Detectives These Days Are Crazy. It's fabulous.
It is.
And on to Sam.
I'm glad you said Detectives These Days because it was a fantastic show. And I wasn't going to pick it for this. I originally had something here that was, when I thought more about it, it was actually from 2024. I was looking back at our episodes and I saw we had an episode on Look Back last year, but then I realized we only did the episode then because that's when it came out on Prime, but I saw it the previous year. So I had to last minute look around and, there's City right there. City, the animation, is excellent animated series. Another series based on a manga created by the guy who did
Nichijou.
Yep. Thank you.
Yeah, it's very much, it's in the same kind of vein but different. And
yep, it basically focuses on a city. They call it a city. It's more like a small town, but it's got all the features of a city and the people that live there, and switches between them in little kind of vignettes. It's very cute. I laughed out loud very often. Animated extremely well. Kyoani, I believe.
Yep.
Part of the triumphant return.
Yeah, yeah. So,
you know, it's, I don't want to steal your thunder, but it's funny because I do agree. I think it's animatable, but man, I found it horribly boring. Like, I actually fell asleep on the first episode.
Hey, you know, that's fair. It's not, I mean, they're not all winners in there too. Like they try out some jokes that don't land. And so it's not as 100 miles an hour as Nichijou is. I would recommend people check it out. And, you know, if you don't like it, fine. But if you're going to watch one episode to see what you think about it, there's a show, The Tower of Hospitality. There's this an episode called The Tower of Hospitality.
Okay.
It's good. To me, that's everything about that show. It's very, these people get, this rich girl kidnaps them to give them thanks for being nice people, but these people are extremely polite and don't want to be thanked, and so they're desperately trying, if you don't want to enjoy the hospitality of the tower, you have to escape the tower by going through these trials as you go down.
Okay, that sounds pretty amusing. Again, I want to give it a shot because I really do want to see Kyoani come back, especially after that, you know, that horrible attack that happened to them. Like, you know, they've been suffering pretty bad, so I do want to be able to support them in some capacity for sure.
Yeah, but your opinion of it being boring is valid, and I can definitely understand where that was coming from at times, but you know, it's, everybody should at least give it a chance. Check out The Tower of Hospitality. I'll leave it at that.
All right, I'll look for that episode.
All right, does anyone want to make any final pitches for why there should be the winner for the favorite AMO?
No, I think all the answers are sufficient. Actually, it'd be ironic if Uma Musume took two awards. That'd be pretty hilarious.
Well, you know, based on consensus from our voting and checking from our lawyers and stuff, the winner actually did come out to be the Uma Musume movie again. Like, crazy enough that it came through as the winner. So it gets a nice trophy for the favorite AMO this year, which is it's actually like a kind of a looping gif of a Uma Musume, but like her shin really hurts, so she's kind of like limping and walking around there. And then walking in the background is like the city animation type thing is rolling in the background as a little looping gif. So
nice.
That's also kind of a cut to Detectives These Days in the opening scene
yes. So.
And it's all happening in Takupi's imagination, right?
Definitely. 100% happening there. All right. Now we get to this next one. So we're going to go to the best ending. And I'll put myself up here first. It's got to be detectives these days are crazy. That ending is so fabulous, so hilarious. Every time, I love the song. I was watching some different endings, and I went through and had it on like several times in a row. The animation is hilarious. The lyrics are completely insane. The beat is catchy. That's my winner. I'm going to give an honorable mention to the Clevites ending, which is a Ellie Goulding song. And it's just like, it's done very well in the style of the show, and the song like totally makes sense there. It's not like any sort of like really cool animation thing or whatever, but it was just like very excellently picked and fits in with the show and the way that everything was done, such that it was very, it was one of those ones that you're like, oh yeah, this is like, I shouldn't like this much, but it's really just, it's put in there exactly right. So, but detectives these days is my submission.
Good choice.
Next up is Sam.
I just want to say before I give my choice that, this season, when I was trying to pick one, going through everything that I remembered there, and I was comparing, there were so many really good endings to choose from, but I really didn't find many good openings. So it's usually the other way around.
That's hilarious because I was the exact opposite. So
really?
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to say, I have to say that my favorite is, well, I'll say my number two, because I can't go without mentioning this one, is the See You at the Ballpark ending.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, that's good. Yeah, that one's really good, too.
Yeah.
I forgot about that show. Oh, dang it. How did I forget about that show? That show's so good. Yeah.
But Detectives These Days was on my list, but since it's already gotten its, plaudits from Trivia Dylan, I will give mine to I have the title written down wrong. I was reborn as a villainess in an Otome game thing where it's the girls. I need to find the dang title now. This 40-year-old,
it's not possible.
Yeah, 40-year-old mom or mom, 40-year-old dad who is an otaku ends up getting transported into the world of an Otome game where he's body swapped with the villainous character, but he plays her as a very kind and he acts very fatherly, and it's hijinks ensue, etc., etc. And the ending is fantastic. I think you should all go watch it, but let me, as I stall here and try
I'm gonna sum up that show as Villainous Dad.
Yeah, Villainous Dad. That's good.
Yeah,
that show sounds fun.
It is. I haven't finished it yet, but it's quite good. Yeah, and the ending is pretty great. It's a duet, and it's incredible. It's on High Dive.
High Dive. There we go. Yeah, that's why I didn't see it in my Crunchyroll perusing. That's right. I remember when I posted it in our chat, I said like that one good show on High Dive that season.
Yep. Yeah, that show is good. It's one of the shows that should be terrible, but it's executed quite well. So yes. I can support that.
Animation and everything is top notch.
All right, next up is Mike.
I've got nothing for this one, honestly. I just can't remember anything that really struck me this year.
See, not too many memorable endings. Even Mike agreed.
Okay, this is I'm Mike. Mike, my dress up darling, season two. Indeed.
You know what's hilarious is that's actually one of my finalists.
Yeah.
I really need to watch that show in general.
It's really good. It comes with a very high recommendation from me, for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, me too. It's a very feel good show.
Comes with a very high recommendation from Giles Poitras too.
Yeah, and I mean he's as boomer as you get for anime boomer. So,
all right, and Nick, what is yours?
So yeah, I had it down to two. I already let one cat out of the bag, which was Dress Up Darling, season two. And if I kind of follow my rule of trying to not let, you know, season twos, kind of steal the spotlight like they did in years past. For me, it actually came back to one that I wouldn't say the song was remarkable, but the combination of the song and the animation kind of did it for me. And that was actually the televised G-Klux ending. Super cleanly animated, and it does a thing that I like where it's basically shot in a single room, even though it's animated, and then it just does a lot of different cuts of the day-to-day of Machu and Yao. So, yeah, it was incredibly well animated, and no surprise given the pedigree of the people behind it. But yeah, so many S2s that kind of would have taken it from me otherwise, but yeah, I decided to try to branch out a bit. So yeah, G-Quux ending gets
that's
it for
good
me.
A good rule.
All right, very nice. Spinning the dice, and I rolled the slot machine, and because it's a slot machine, it came up with the detectives these days with the song title "Gory Gory Fee's E-Girl" is the title of the song.
Yes. So good.
Can I give a nomination for best 40-year-old ending? Because I'd like to nominate Dirty Pair Project Eden.
You can nominate whatever you want, Mike.
Yeah, you can nominate. Yeah, you can definitely put that out there. So I'm gonna give it to Mashiro and doing her. Actually, hers is that one's kind of a duet too, because it's like her versus the nipple guy.
Kind of. He's like just background, right? Like,
yeah, yeah. He provides the beatbox in it.
Yeah.
If everything I'm telling you about this makes you go, what are these words? Like, and I'm selling it properly.
His nipples have different flavors.
Yeah.
it's such a good series, guys. Why aren't you watching
it? You're convincing more and more. You're convincing me more
it's,
and more.
It's so good.
Is it a Prime show?
No, it's on C-Roll. CR.
Oh, okay, perfect. Then yeah, I might throw it on soon.
Okay. So the best ending, and for this one, it's a plaster cast of a butt that has a cloth that covers over it. And once in a while, randomly, it'll toot. All right. All of those are winners. Oh, man, I feel so bad for forgetting about Meet Me at the Ballpark. That one was so good, too. Yep. Villainous Dad. That one's really good.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Let's go to best opening. Let's go with Sam first.
So as I hinted to earlier, this one was hard mostly because I didn't find there were any super good ones. There were ones that I thought were executed well, but like weren't just like, I don't know. They weren't quite as shareable that I wasn't like thinking, oh, I need to show this or save this. But digging through, I did find, and assuming that post date on YouTube is correct, this is valid. Witch Watch season one is an excellent opening. It's extremely good in terms of good song and really stellar animation. And it's one of those cool ones that's like got scenes from the show, but like not scenes as they were animated in the show, just things that would happen later on. But it's very good.
I remember that was one of the shows that I watched a little bit of, and I was kind of like, my note was like, I'll probably just put this on in the background at some point, and I just haven't done that yet.
Is it? Was Watch Trigger?
No.
I don't think so. No.
It's pretty good quality in the first season. The second season is not great, but like, man, as is my wont, I at some point I'll have to talk about the production of anime these days, because it's definitely looks high quality, but like it's using that kind of CG pseudo rotoscoping, like everything's posed in CG and then traced over. And it makes it look really good, but I don't know, you can kind of, once you see it, you can't not see it. So it's interesting. It's becoming the standard, I think, for cheap anime.
All right. Let's go with Mike.
For best 30-year-old opening, I would like to nominate Golden Boy.
Okay.
That one is good.
It is. We even talked about it during the episode. It is really good.
Yeah. Okay. That one's good. All right. Nick, what you got?
So as usual, I will take my soapbox here because this is probably my favorite award of every Kenzoki. So this one was really hard for me to adhere to my rule of no season two, because there are some season two openings that were hot for me. Specifically for me, Call of the Night season two opening. Mm-hmm. Man, like at first I didn't love it, but did it ever grow on me? And obviously, yeah, being creepy nuts certainly doesn't hurt it. Like just, mm-hmm, like the, just how different it is and how they sync it. Like, you know, it's like got this like salsa flamenco vibe, and they sync it to the animation, you know, with how, mm-hmm, it goes, and just the fight sequence in it. I'm like, man, this is so hot. And I really, really, really wanted to give it to Call of the Night season two, because honestly, I would like to give Creepy Nuts and Call of the Night every award, but I decided to stick to my philosophy. So it is in my final three for sure. I would say one dark horse that I didn't realize was I liked as much as I did till I watched it again was Gachi Octa's opening. Really, really interesting, really kind of industrial sounding, you know, just, you know, very much fits the vibe of the show. Show is okay. At first I liked it a lot, and then it kind of dragged for me, but I love the art aesthetic for it. And the opening is absolutely phenomenal. It didn't surpass my number one, which may or may not be a surprise to anybody here, but my best opening for 2025 is the opening for Uma Musume Cinderella Grey season one. It is
That's a good one.
Really good.
It's really good, yeah.
And it is animated super well, and it does the thing I love where it tells a story, and then when there hits a certain inflection point in the plot, it actually changes the animated sequence to match what's actually happening in the plot, because it opens up where the final racing sequence is Oguri's last spurt against Fujimasa March, and then later on, mm-hmm, when she gets to Chuo and goes into Tokyo, then it's her racing against Tomo Cross instead. So I love
it. Oh boy,
I love it when they do.
I never noticed that.
I love it when they do stuff like that, and it's animated super super well. And honestly, Cinderella Grey is possibly my favorite anime from last year. It is superbly well animated, and if you're gonna watch anything Uma Musume, Cinderella Grey should be it.
Yeah, agreed. I'm still kind of peeved that I was watching it on YouTube because they had it on that weird channel and then I was watching it too slowly, and then they took it off.
It got
and
discontinued. Then
they put, well, not just that, so they discontinued it, and then for some reason they put it up as a marathon video where you like,
oh, like 6 hours straight.
Yeah, and so I was watching it through that. And then I watched that too slow, and then they don't have it up there anymore. So I'll have to watch it on Prime, but I hate Prime. So
yeah, I understand. Yep. So yeah, to I guess no one's surprise goes to Uma Musume Cinderella.
That was a good choice. I forgot about that opening. It was really good.
Honestly, the Core 2's opening was really good too. That made it into my top five. But ultimately, I feel like Core 1's was just a little bit better.
Hmm.
All right, and mine, I think I kind of felt similar to Sam in that I had some that I liked, but there was few that I was really, like, going crazy on. But mine that I came back to was Call of the Night Season 2. I didn't have the same qualms that Nick did.
You know,
so that
I don't,
was my,
I don't
that
blame
was my
you.
Answer.
It is a hot opening. Yeah. It has everything. Yeah, the song is fire, the animation is fire, and the show is fire. Like, it's just... there's no losing here.
Yeah, it's really cool. And then also, I also appreciate and like that it was very differently done from the style and everything as the first opening was, which was so
cinematic.
So great. And they did another really cool opening that was also like very different. It wasn't just more of that same style or anything.
In my opinion, it follows the cadence of the show. Like the show changes very drastically tone in the second season. Like it gets very dark. There were dark undertones, but it gets very dark in season two. And I'm like, whoa, okay, I'm all about this. And then, you know, again, the song originally I didn't love, but it really grew on me. And now it's actually one of my most played on my car rides to the office. So, yeah, Mirages. I mean, that's real. Creepy Nuts can't fail. Like, you can't go wrong.
Yeah.
Creepy
Nuts.
So.
Yeah, Mirage is a cool... Yeah, it's a very cool song. So by checking that, it's one of the few times we actually have, I think, two people agreeing on the same thing in their final stuff. So we're going to give it to Call of the Knights, Creepy Nuts, and it's going to be a couple of bronze cast, probably saying that like the Marengo thing, things.
Oh, castanets? Are you talking about the cookie clack things?
The shaky things with maracas, like the sand in them?
Maracas.
There we go. I can't think of the words. It's some bronze maracas. Because those are in the opening in there. That's we're going to bronze some maracas and we're going to mail it to Creepy Nuts and hopefully it'll get there and they'll understand that they just won a major award.
I mean, they're kind of regulars in this award show at this point.
Oof, yeah. Man, they keep making it.
I mean, I gave it to Dun 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 last year, so.
You gotta, to be the best, you gotta beat the best and no one's beat the best yet in the last couple of years, I think. So
yeah, they are the champions.
All right.
I suppose I'll tolerate Uma Musumin not winning 3 awards, I guess.
Yeah. It's been a dark horse. all right, so that does it for our official topics. Now we're kind of into our surprise topics where we have... some things. We have a few of them here that we've gone with before, but if people have something else that they want to talk about, anything that is something in particular, I'll go with a quick one here of like kind of show it put on somewhere public, realized it wasn't, you know, wildly inappropriate. I don't think I really had on a super public place, but kind of even my house, and I had my cleaner was there, whatever, and I had Cleavitess on, and that show gets fairly graphic at points, and I'm like, I'm going to watch something else now. That's a weird show. That's a show that I went back and forth on for nearly, like, the whole season, whether I liked it or whether I was just done with it. But I guess I liked it enough to finish it, and I did like the ending and stuff, and it was well done. But yeah, it was some parts I was like, oh boy, okay, all right, be a little careful here.
Huh.
And for these topics, no one is required to give an answer.
I have an answer for this one. it wasn't in public, but you know, I was watching it at home, and my wife usually, you know, strolls back and forth and sees what's on the TV. But timing wise, she came in right at the end of Ep 1 of Taco P. And if anybody's watched Ep 1, you know what's going on. And the first thing she asked was, "How old is that character?" And I'm like, I can explain. Let me explain.
I haven't gotten there yet.
Yeah, and that's all I'll say.
I could believe that, kind of being like, if someone walked in during the naked whipping scene of Made in Abyss and was like, what is this?
This,
at least that one is goofy.
This one is probably worse.
Oof. All right. Yeah. Good one. Okay. Yep. Yep. Spouse counts as public.
Almost worse.
Okay.
Because she knows where I sleep.
Yeah. And there's a lot of judgment.
Oh yeah. Whole lot.
I'll kind of keep going, and if anyone wants to cut in with any of these things or has something else, go for it. I'm going to go with the, Okaider and Nasai, like what we, you know, kind of covered this, you'll be watching 10 years. So I had a lot of trouble with stuff where I was definitely like, oh man. And my answer was kind of like, I don't know, all the Junji Ito manga, because I just read and keep reading, and then they release more of it. And, God, it's so good. I love it. And then as my snarky answer is more of the Monogatari series, because I'm going to still be waiting for a good version of it to be available.
You just had to import used Region A Blu-rays for like $300.
Yeah, that seems reasonable.
I have a coin to throw in for this one. It's a little bit of a blasé answer, but I stuck with a podcast topic. So for Okaeru Nasai, for 10 years, I can see myself going back to a lot of these things in 10 years. But the one thing that is a 100% guarantee I'll be back to seeing again in 10 years is definitely going to be Princess Mononoke, because that 4K restoration was phenomenal. And God damn it, G-Kids, can you just release the Blu-ray already? It's been almost a year, and they haven't re-released it. I think they're actually going to do another run in theaters, I believe. It has been announced. So,
Hopefully that'll be a time I can catch it.
Yes, hopefully. So I may have to go see it again and actually drag my wife to see it, because I need to show it off to as many people as possible. But yeah, easy answer for me is Princess Mononoke. I can watch that movie for the rest of my life, no problem.
Yeah, easy answer for me out of all of the things we watched this year is probably going to be one of the ones that is already, I've been watching for many, many years, which would be Mononoke, Perfect Blue, or Millennium Actress. Like, I imagine I will still be watching all three of those in 10 years if I have someone to show them to.
Yeah, I'd second that. I'll probably be coming back to those. I was actually thinking that I would be coming back to watching the things that I keep saying I'm going to watch that came out this last year, but I still haven't watched in 10 years.
Oh, yeah, that too, honestly. given that I still have a few things from the Genion and AVV implosion sales that I've been meaning to get around to watching,
I haven't watched most of that stuff.
Oh, man.
It's only been, two decades almost?
Exactly 2 decades. Wasn't it around 2004?
It was like around 2006 or 2007,
yeah.
I think.
Okay,
yeah,
there we go. Yeah, it's been 2 decades.
I'm going to make a special award here, which is a decapitated samurai who's holding some really dusty DVDs in his hands, bronzed up that way. That's what it's going to be.
Appropriate. With the Kodama on its shoulder.
Yes, definitely. And a knife in his chest. Just really got roughed up there. Okay. All right, we'll keep rolling with a couple more of these here. Punching up kind of something. It was a lot better. I'm going to skip Detectives these days because I already gave that word. I'm going to give it to Ruri Rocks, which is one of those shows that should have been terrible and boring and is quite good. And it's got very nice animation. And then I attribute a lot of it to the scripts by everyone super surprised that it's Michiko Yokote is the one who's the head script writer for it. And as usual, she knows how to write good scripts. If that name doesn't sound familiar to you, she's a scriptwriter going back to Pat Labor TV. Wrote probably the best 6 episodes of Cowboy Bebop. I think she did Toys in the Attic and a bunch of the other really good ones, and 100 million other really well written things where you're like, oh, that's why this show is way better than it should be, because it has really good writing that just is very clean and well done. So I'm gonna give it to Ruri Rocks for punching up.
Yeah, that was actually literally my answer.
Yeah, I was gonna do I was gonna say that was my biggest surprise. Was Ruri Rocks, so yeah, really, really good, way better than it should have been.
All right, nice. Well, for that one, we're gonna take we have this rock that's got a gemstone in the middle of it. We'll buff it up a little bit, and we'll send it to the gemologists at the college they work for, and They get a nice Kenzoki award. Good job, Rerox. Good job, people making good anime out of a topic that should be stupid and not a good anime.
The whole reason why we do this podcast.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, I think we'll go a little bit down here and maybe it'll be a little fun, but I had one here for kind of like a worst new trend. And I'm kind of like, in some ways, I'm almost like, I'm going to kind of go with like either market splitting or market consolidation, mm-hmm. where it's like the splitting is like, oh gosh, the same thing that's happening everywhere else. It's like, okay, now I have to have like all these different services and remember which one the thing is on there and where it is. And that's awful because then I don't watch stuff.
Only thing worse than that is the opposite, right?
Right. Yep, and the only thing worse than that is that I look and I'm like, oh, if I don't have Crunchyroll or they decide to do something that I don't like, then what option do I have? Okay, yeah. So, yep, it's bad both ways. That's my worst new trend, which isn't really new, just it's a trend. So,
yeah, my answer to this was actually one of yours, which was just the acrylification of merch. I hate it. It's the worst thing ever.
Yeah,
I can't believe that of all the things to regress is anime merch, because I recall the days of being able to walk into a new random secondhand store or even, you know, new merch store at Akiba and being like, it's sensory overload. There's so much crazy stuff, and now it's literally like just rows and rows of crappy pressed acrylic keychains with a silkscreen of like the logo of the show or like a key art of the main character. That's everywhere, like nothing unique. It's so sad, and it also just massively adds to the plastic waste issue of, you know, everything. So yeah, it's not a new trend, but I hate that it's still a thing.
Yeah. Any other surprise bikuri topikus from anyone?
I have just one, and it's I'll just call it guiltiest pleasure of the year. So basically,
oh, that's a good one.
Yeah. What did I enjoy from this past year that I don't. Ooh, actually, now that I think about it, I don't know if my answer qualifies, because I think it actually hurt this year. So maybe I have to. Oh, now I feel silly. All right, well, I'll just let it rock, and it'll be even funnier if I'm wrong. But for me, I recently started watching. Yeah, it is 2026. Oh well, I started watching Shiboyugi, and it's definitely not good. But I also can't stop watching it because it's a death game anime, and.
Oh.
Oh, say no more.
Yeah.
We know you.
Yeah. It's not bad, but it's not good. It does this weird stylistic change thing. I think, Dylan, you pointed it out in one of your quick reviews where, like, the character designs are very detailed, but they don't always show the characters in, like, this normal sense. Sometimes they go into this weird, I call it, like, I'll call it South Park mode, where the characters look like they're made out of, construction paper, and there's no detail, there's no outline, it's just like a blank face with, like, you know, no detailed hair, no outline to anything, and it's really weird, and I don't understand why they do. Well, I do understand, because it saves budget, obviously, but they do it a lot and it's super annoying. But it doesn't, I don't care, because I just want to see if the main character dies horribly. Okay, that's I'll say it. I want to know if they'll lose, because it follows one character who's basically is her goal is to achieve 99 victories in this death game, and the games rotate in a variety of different motifs. Like the first one is like an escape death trap game. The next one's like, you know, like you're stuck in a 5-floor building and you have to get your way to the first floor, and there's landmines everywhere, so you have to avoid getting blown up. Things like that. Yeah, it's not good, but I can't stop watching it. And yeah, I don't know. That's all I can say.
I'll throw in briefly my, I guess, guilty pleasure is the See You Tomorrow at the Food Court, which I keep coming back to every once in a while, slowly. Despite it not being very good, it's entertaining.
I think my guiltiest pleasure is I've gotten in and I generally watch at least one like random high school, I don't know, romance, whatever show a season. And I often like them. And that's, I feel pretty guilty for doing that.
I don't even know, think that's like so guilty. Like those, a lot of them are really good.
Yeah. Yeah, they are.
A lot of them are terrible. And then some of them are good. And I try to at least pick one that I kind of enjoy and watch. So I don't know. I feel like I should be watching something better than this, but I'm like, eh, it's fun. So that's why I feel guilty. I'm like, yeah, it's fine. Mike, I assume your guiltiest pleasure is having to surf the seas to get the 12 gigabytes of Otakon 3, or not Otakon 3, but
Daikon 3.
Daikon 3, yes.
Yeah, that would certainly be it. And also getting into like Italian giallo films, thanks to the people at the Palm Theater.
No.
What is giallo?
It's kind of the, it's like this Italian horror genre that was most popular in the 60s and 70s that kind of, some of the tropes evolved into American slasher films, but basically You've got like this killer who goes around killing people, and you generally have some sort of like detective trying to track them down or other person trying to like stop them from being killed, and they tend to have in a lot of cases some vivid bright colors, particularly the ones by like Mario Bava and Dario Argento. So if you like cool trippy visuals from like the 60s and 70s and just interesting European design from the same era, because it's, you know, a window into a world I've certainly never been into, there
sounds
some
interesting,
pretty visually striking films.
Huh, that's cool. Interesting. Okay. Peaked a little bit there, I'm curious. Okay, anything else from anyone?
I am Kenzoki'd out.
Yeah, we're at an hour and a half, so probably a good.
Yep, we're at Kenzoki's. We allow them to run a little bit longer, but not too bad. So yeah. We'll call it here, though. So thank you all for joining us for the fourth annual Kenzoki's. And with that, we say Saraba.